What's up, everyone? This is the Destruction Reviews Podcast. My name is Jason, along with Jeremiah, and today we are discussing The Nun 2, directed by Michael Chavis and starring Thaisa Farmiga as Sister Irene, Jonas Bluquette as Maurice or Frenchie, Storm Reed as Sister Deborah, Anna Poplawell as Kate, who was the teacher in the movie, and Bonnie Ahrens, who was our nun. Sorry, my notes are very messy. I was probably drinking. But Jeremiah, so kind of a little backstory as why we're doing this movie is during when we went and saw The Haunting in Venice, this trailer comes up. And Jeremiah turns to me and says, man, that looks good. Let's check it out. So, Jeremiah, prior to that trailer or even watching The Nun 2, were you familiar with The Nun or The Conjuring universe?
Okay. Well, before I start, happy birthday, man.
Oh, thank you.
Happy belated birthday, man. For all those who are interested or concerned, Jason's birthday was on Sunday.
Yep.
And so, yeah, man. Another year around the world,
man.
You know,
love it. It was a great. You know, it was a great year because we got to start this podcast, and we're a few months in. Our listenership has reached international waters.
Oh yeah,
and you know, it's really cool. And I'm so glad that you pushed me to to kind of go along and do this and kind of make your ideas become reality.
I appreciate you, man. I'm glad you're around.
Man, I appreciate much love, man. Okay. I'm glad you're in my life too.
Okay, let's get into this.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
So before I saw the movie, before seeing A Nun 2, I have never seen a nun movie. I'm not even sure if I'm even because this, I always get confused. This isn't the Conjuring universe.
This is the Conjuring universe.
This is the Conjuring universe. So I'm not familiar with the Conjuring universe.
Yeah, so this, if for those who are listening who know or don't know, this is the eighth movie that's a part of the Conjuring universe. And the Conjuring universe consists of the Conjuring movies, Annabelle movies, The Curse of La Llorona.
Never even heard of that one.
Most people haven't. And the two nun movies.
Okay. So, what, I'm assuming the nun movie and the Annabelle are their most recent?
There have been, the short answer is no.
Okay.
Well, I mean, technically The Nun 2, what we're talking about is recent. The first Nun movie came out, about 5 years ago. So The Conjuring Part 2 introduces us to the haunting of the nun.
Okay.
And it was well received, by fans and film goers. And so the writers decided to branch off from the haunting story that is in The Conjuring 2 and create a whole backstory to the nun and how she became a haunt.
Okay. Well, that's interesting, man, because I didn't know that The Conjurings before this tied into these nun movies.
Yes.
I didn't know that. I'm going to have to do some more watching.
And the father, Father Gordon, who is somewhere in this movie, is the father. What, did you see this, the mid-credit scene where the husband and wife are getting called by Father Gordon?
No.
Okay. No, so it's, and that's fine if you didn't, but there's an end scene after when the credits start where Father Gordon calls Ed and Lorraine Warren to tell them about the nun who was haunting the abbey.
Okay.
And that phone call or scene leads into The Conjuring Part 2.
Okay. I might do some more watching there.
And Father Gordon, for those who have seen the case of La Llorona, is the same father who is being haunted, who helps the haunted family in La Llorona. So it is a fringe Conjuring movie, but it still has a character in the Conjuring universe.
Okay.
So that's how we get to eight films.
Wow.
Okay. And the most recent, The Conjuring, which I think is The Devil Made Me Do It, came out in 2020. Okay. I feel like I watched it in the pandemic.
I feel like I've seen part of that movie, The Devil Made Me Do It. Yeah. I definitely heard of it. It was a big one.
It was a big one, and it was about a real... So Ed and Lorraine Warren, for those who don't know, are real-world, real-life paranormal investigators. Mm. They have famously done... So they famously did the Amityville Horror House.
Yep.
Like, that was their investigation, mm. and they wrote a book about it, which has become a famous movie, as well as a ton of other, excuse me, a ton of other haunts that are featured in the Conjuring movies. And The Devil Made Me Do It is based off a real life trial where a person was accused of killing someone, and he claimed that the devil made him do it.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And so Ed and Lorraine were the investigators that came to the house during the moments of this life event, and they were on trial discussing how, if someone is possessed, how they can do things without their permission or knowledge.
Right.
And so technically the devil could have made someone do, you know, murder.
Wow.
And so... So that's where, that's the most recent Conjuring movie.
Okay. Now that's interesting, man. Wow, that's some real life stuff right there.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's some real life stuff right there, man. Wow. I like it though. I really do. I thought The Nun was really good. I really thought it was really good. Like, you know, with Halloween just passing.
Yep.
We did a lot of scary stuff. We watched some scary movies. We still got one coming up.
Yes.
Still got one coming up.
For the next holiday, for Thanksgiving, if you guys want to prep, go buy your tickets to Eli Roth's Thanksgiving.
We definitely going to check that out and going to post a review on that. But, yeah, man, coming off the spooky month, this is a good way to end it.
Yes.
It really was. And this is a real scary movie. There were multiple times where I, like, jumped back in my seat, man. Like, I was just frightened. It's a scary movie.
Yeah, frightened is a great word because that's how I felt watching this. You know, we've all seen the different scary movies. We all know when a scare is going to come.
Mm-hmm.
But what I really liked here is that they... set us up, and then they held it.
Mm-hmm.
So then you kind of had that false sense of security,
mm-hmm.
and then pop,
yes.
she's right behind you,
right.
or she's in the mirror,
right?
And I'm on the couch too, screaming my face off. Like me and my wife are watching it, like holy crap, like you know, yes. like that's some scary stuff.
Because
you know, I believe in the supernatural, I believe in spirits, I believe in that stuff, and so. You know, there's a level of I want to say realism.
Mm-hmm.
There's a level of escapism when I watch a movie like this where I believe that this might, may, or could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And my God, when they do some of these scares, jump scares, dude, I am freaking scared.
I'm with you on that, man.
You know, catching my breath like, yeah. Woo!
For real. I'm with you on that. Because I believe in paranormal things, too. I really do. I believe in the paranormal. Not everything can be explained, man. You know what I mean? And the fact that, you know, this is something that you can kind of connect to real life makes it way, way scarier. Way, way scarier. Because when we get into the story of, like, what was going on, it's a plausible. It's like, I didn't feel like, oh, come on. You know?
Yeah.
I felt like, okay, wow. This could have happened, or, you know, I could just see it. I could feel it. It felt organic.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
it felt really natural, really organic. They didn't go over the top, but they also didn't undersell it either.
Right.
You know, it was that right mixture of, you know, a little bit of cinematic, but also they were able to bring you down to earth and be like, well, you know, just think about it if it was real. You know what I mean? I liked it, man. I really did, because the whole thing about it being a nun who's the, what would you call her? The ghost? Or
The haunting.
The haunting. Yeah. Okay, so the fact that it's a holy figure, mm-hmm. so, you know, someone's supposed to be holy, doing the haunting, that made it really scary to me. That made it really scary to me. Because we haven't discussed this on the show yet, but as you know, I wasn't a fan of Pope's Exorcist.
Right.
I wasn't a fan of Pope's Exorcist, and when I watched The Nun, I couldn't help but compare the two.
Okay.
You know, because Pope's Exorcist, you know, the whole church with that, and then these are nuns, and I just sat back and thought, like, man, this is way better. Way better. Way better.
What makes it way more better than the Pope's Exorcist? Was it... Is it that realism that you talk about? That the groundedness of some of the plot?
That, plus the fact that the story was just way better.
Yeah.
Better storytelling. They brought you along really nicely. It doesn't start out slow.
You know what I mean? Dude,
you know?
That priest getting... burned
up like that. Yeah. That was one of the best scenes in the whole movie.
So, okay, well, So let's compare, since we're talking about the Pope's Exorcist. We're not going to do an episode on the Pope's Exorcist because that movie was not good.
Right.
But if you've seen it, then you'll know kind of what I'm going to bring up. And if you haven't seen it, it doesn't matter. You know, Russell Crowe is an Italian exorcist in the mid-80s on a moped. I mean, you know, that's how we start.
Right.
But the way that movie opens, Russell Crowe comes to an exorcism, a supposed exorcism, and he knows that the person who's supposedly possessed is probably lying. Mm-hmm. And he takes a pig that's on this guy's farm and slaughters it, I think, in the room or near him.
Right.
And so it's like this, it's this intense moment of like, all right, Russell Crowe knows you're lying. Mm-hmm. He is a Catholic priest. The story of the Pope's Exorcist is actually based off a real exorcist in the Catholic Church, and he wrote a ton of books. So mm-hmm. like that's actually most of the stuff that we saw in that movie is generally real.
Okay.
So knowing that, going into the movie, and he starts off with the pig killing. I'm thinking, man, he's going to be no frills. This guy's going to be, like, down to business.
Right.
And that's not how the movie goes.
Right.
And it kind of falls off. The Nun 2 starts off with the priest getting burned alive.
Anger.
And does the spirit of the nun go into the altar boy?
Let me think here. Jeez.
I mean, I know that the boy plays a part later on in the movie.
Yes, the boy plays a part later on in the movie because he connects the rosary to the father. Now, I think the ghost was there because, what's the guy's name?
Maurice?
Yeah. Yes, I believe Maurice, because he was a traveling janitor or maintenance man.
Sure.
I think he was there. Because, like, at the end of that scene, if you remember, they show, like, a huge ghost of hers.
Yes.
A huge shadow of hers. And it was him walking, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that shadow was, like, being absorbed into him.
That's what it was. Okay, so it wasn't in the boy yet at all. But the reason why I bring that up, and that's how this movie starts, and it just, it's a roller, it goes right, like, it does not stop.
Yep.
And... whether or not this movie is good or bad, the way they tell that story, like Jeremiah said earlier, like, it is captivating.
Yes, yes. I think that opening scene, man, it's hard to look away once you see that because you're like, whoa, this is like the opening scene. It's right. Like the first, like, 10, not even 10 minutes, like the first, like, 5 or so minutes.
Yep.
And
for you who've never seen any of this universe, that's got to be awesome.
It was awesome, and it was also frightening. Right. I was just like, dude, this is scary. This is scary. Like from that moment, just the mood, you know. For a second, I thought she was going to go after the little boy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So it's really scary. It's really scary. Got some great acting in there too. Great acting, if you ask me. They did a good job with the acting. But, man, that opening scene, where she just like, man, just completely incinerates the Holy Father.
Yep.
That was crazy. That was crazy. And, you know, then they went a little further as, what's her name?
The lead one?
Yes.
Sister Irene. Irene, yep.
Okay, Sister Irene. And hold on, before I go on this, yeah. This is probably the only funny part in the movie, but I don't think it was supposed to be funny. But like every time someone came across one of these sisters, they would say, sister. Like when Maurice first saw Irene, he didn't say Irene. He said, sister. Like it was just hilarious. That was so funny to me. So everybody's sister in the movie, and that is hilarious to me. But it's well done, you know? Good storytelling. It really brings you in, you know what I mean? Because it makes you feel like, you know, this is real. These are nuns. They don't go by their names. They go by sister.
Yeah.
So that was cool to see. But what I was going to say was, so where was I? Where was I? Where was I? I was talking about Irene. I was going to say
something. Talking about acting?
Before that, I was going to say something about Irene. Jeez, where was I going? I wish I knew where I was going with that. Because I had a really good thought. Okay, I was talking about the acting, how scary it was. I was talking about... Oh, I know where I'm going. Okay, so Maurice, right?
Yep.
Maurice and the burnt-up Holy Father. As you get further into the story, Irene learns from her like lead pastor father that there is a haunting going on. And it's the same haunting that she already supposedly defeated.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Then they start showing these pictures of recent, like, what would you call it? Abominations in the church. Like, you know, people, priests and whatever, doing these unthinkable acts in the church. Okay? That was really cool. Because each and every one of them died in a different way. But each and every one of their deaths, I feel like, was like, whoa, they did that there? Like, it was just so dramatic the way they made the holy people, like, be killed or what seemed like they were killing themselves.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That was really cool. I liked that. It was just a good story, man.
Yeah.
Just a good story. It really, really was.
So what did you think of the relationship or the chemistry of Sister Irene and Sister Deborah?
Okay, Sister Deborah is the
black girl.
The black girl. Mm-hmm. Okay, chemistry. When you say chemistry, what do you mean?
Like, just you're watching them on screen, and you're like, you know, like you kind of believe that you know that Irene has had this history.
Okay,
and she's kind of more heavy-handed. She's more serious about things. Deborah, the first time we meet her, she's smoking in the back.
Oh, and, right,
you know, she's
right,
a little
right.
bit more looser.
Yeah,
and I. You know, their pairing of like kind of serious and not serious, I thought worked well.
I thought it worked well.
I just because like if we know that eventually Irene is going to be, you know, maybe fighting this nun again, she's gonna need, you know, help. And I think Deborah, because she has no clue what she's getting into, I think is more able to just, I don't know, be a better sidekick.
Okay.
And not be as scared or frightened. Okay. So then, you know, she's willing to just like jump in the fire.
Okay. Okay. I see. I didn't see any I wasn't offset or like put off by Sister Reba and Deborah, I'm sorry. Sister Deborah and Irene. No, it seemed cool to me. They seemed the chemistry was good.
Yeah,
I didn't feel like that through. I tell you what. How do I say this? Okay, the little girl Abby.
Yes,
I don't know if she played. I don't know. That's the role.
Was that her name?
I think her name was Abby, right?
Because that was the name of the sister in Five Nights at Freddy's too.
Right. I think it was Abby.
Okay.
Okay. Forgive us if we're wrong.
Yeah.
But I believe the little girl's name was Abby. And
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. I just don't, that's the only role where I'm like, does that role really need to be there?
Okay.
You know?
All right, so I will counteract that with if Frenchie doesn't make friends with her,
okay.
If Maurice doesn't make friends with her in the school,
mm-hmm.
You know, does the nun spirit that's inhabiting him come out at all? Because the mean girls, you know, lock her in that
back room,
the back room, and you know, frighten her, and so then when she's frightened or her emotions are heightened, then the nun comes out.
Right.
So if like you said, if we don't have that character in there, or there's no reason for Frenchie to like look for her or care for her, then maybe, I don't know, maybe the nun is suppressed.
I see where you're going with that. Because every time she was like in trouble, you know, some spooky stuff went down. So I see where you're going with that. My whole thing is, how can I put this? I'm going to say, I believe it still would have worked because the nun was looking for the eyes of St. Lucie.
Okay.
Which, you know, were at the school anyways. So they would have eventually ended up there.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I just kind of felt like she was just a carrier they put in there to kind of like, I don't know, maybe draw more action, like you said, make her come out a few more times. Or maybe they put her in there to make us believe that Maurice wasn't the bad guy until they were ready to reveal it.
I can see that because I think, you know, they also wrote it that it's possible it's the headmistress, the old lady.
Right.
It's possible it's Kate, the nice teacher, because that would be a plot twist. Okay.
You know?
I also, talking about that relationship with Maurice and Abby, you know, I don't know, man. I was watching this going, is it a little, like, predatory?
That's the thing. And you got to be careful with that stuff. Because when they first started it, right? When they first start, go down this path of Maurice and Abby, okay? They introduce you. Okay, so he obviously likes her mother, who's the teacher, Kate.
Was that her mother?
That was her mother.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Dude, there's so many revelations in this movie that, like, that I had no idea.
That makes sense now. And you know what? I only caught that the second time I watched it. Okay. You know, I said I was going to watch it again.
Yeah.
So when I skimmed through it, I caught that. That was one of the things.
Wow. Well, that makes the third act much more understandable.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. I had a lot of... I had a clearer understanding, too. I went, that was definitely, like, an old moment.
Yeah.
But Kate's her mom. But now... Saying that, okay, they don't introduce her mom until after they introduce this relationship with Maurice and Abby.
Yes.
Which is, like you said, kind of strange, kind of predatorial to begin with because he's like he's a traveling janitor. He's like real shabby. He's not like a really clean, freshly suited guy. He's real shabby, real dirty, you know, just kind of, you know, rag and tag. And he's friends with a little girl. Like the youngest, smallest girl in the entire school.
Right.
He has no relationship to her. He's not like a stepdad or cousin or anything like that. And then, but as the story moves on, they show you, oh, he likes her mom. You know? So they got away from the predator type vibe.
Yeah.
But initially I was like, okay, that's a little strange.
Right.
Initially I was like, that's a little strange. She's really young.
Yeah.
You know, you know, it's not, I just, in the real world, there's not much a grown man can get from that. You know what I mean? You know, you're working at a school, you're obviously going to make friends with some of the kids, but I don't know, maybe a little too much. put it like this. If my daughter, I have a daughter. She's 4 years old. She'll be five this year. If she was at school and there was a guy paying this much attention to her, just some random janitor guy, I'd probably be like, okay, teacher, can you keep this guy away from my daughter?
Yes.
Whether he's nice, whether he helps her, whether he protects her from the bullies, it's just like, hey, man, you know, let the teachers do their jobs and you do yours.
Right.
You know what I mean? It would be kind of be like that in real life, but it worked in the movie. It worked after when it was all said and done.
Yep.
It worked.
Another thing that worked for me was the idea that the Saint, Saint Lucy, is the actual nun.
Okay.
You know.
Wait a minute. That's a revelation for me. She's the nun?
Remember? So, okay. So, they go into the backstory of Saint Lucy and how she was persecuted.
Right.
And they wanted to burn her.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't burn. So, they gouged her eyes out.
Mm-hmm. And which is why she burns people.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
Okay. I did not know. See? I did not know that. Okay.
It's a good thing we talked through this.
Right. Okay.
And so, yes. Okay. And so then she, you know, she wants to get her eyes or whatever. Or you know, her eyes were taken out when she was burned alive, and then buried in this church.
Right.
Like, that's just mean as hell.
Right. Why did they keep her eyes?
But I mean, that is a true, you know, you go look up on Wikipedia, Google, whatever, like Saint Lucy, like this is a real thing.
And that's, wow, what a tragic way to die. Oh. Jeez.
I mean we could,
man,
I mean, if we did an episode on Catholic persecution, it's that'd be a horror story.
That's brutal, man.
But so I liked how they grounded that character, the nun character, that she's actually, you know, this person.
She used to be a saint.
And I
remember in the movie, sorry to cut you off, they said, the father said, this is a demon who was once an angel.
Yes.
I remember
and
that.
And that was her story.
Okay.
And I just thought that was really freaking cool. Like, you know, the writing has been, I've enjoyed most of the Conjuring universe, I enjoy. And the writing in this is really good because, like, for someone like Jeremiah who hasn't seen the next film in the timeline, I think you'd enjoy The Conjuring Part 2 more than we liked it when we first saw it, because we had known the nun was there, didn't exist then.
Okay.
It was a brand new character to us.
Okay.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was dope, man. It was, and I like the fact that I haven't seen the nun, number one.
Yeah,
but I didn't feel lost.
No,
I didn't feel lost. They brought me along, and they brought me along kind of quickly, which is like generally how I like to be caught up. Quickly, I don't want you to completely skip what happened.
Right.
Definitely don't do that. But definitely don't drag out half the movie trying to tell me what happened in the movie.
Exactly. I thought the catching up was great. And honestly, it's been about 5 years since the first movie.
Mm.
I don't remember anything. if that Maurice was in the first movie, I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
The fact that the actress Thaisa Farmiga, who plays Sister Irene, was the main sister, I don't remember that.
Really?
Oh my goodness. It is the Nun Part 2,
right.
But for me, it's its own movie.
Right.
So, yeah, dude.
Okay.
But they did a great job of connecting our main characters from the first film into the new film.
Yep. It was quick. It was short. It was, you know, here's how this has happened. Here's how he's possessed now. You know, they touched on, you know, oh, she dealt with this demon in the past. They touched on that. It was nice. I enjoyed it. This was a well done, scary movie. It was well done.
I thought some of those kills were brutal, man.
Yeah.
Like
when she killed the little girl.
Oh my god.
Oh wow.
Like,
no mercy. mercy.
And then even the old headmistress, the old lady, like, just brutal, man. Like,
mm-hmm.
like I, You know, we just, if you listen to the last episode we did, which Five Nights at Freddy's, which was not scary at all. I think they tried to be a little scary. This was just like, holy mackerel, man. I am like, I'm frightened and scared because of the jump scares and the darkness and all that. But like, the fact that the nun is so brutal and so angry and like,
just so...
Then you're like, oh my God, she's in the back room with the little girl.
Right.
You're like, wow, what if she kills that little girl?
Right. Oh my God. It was just, man, it was like some truly like, just well done, well thought out, scary scenes. Like the scene where Irene is like having a vision. She's like hallucinating a little bit. And she kind of like runs off, and now she's on her own. She's walking up to like a newspaper stand.
Yes, here it is.
Dude, that was such a scary scene because the pages are flipping, they're flipping, and they just keep flipping and flipping and flipping. And you're like, eventually, you're like 10 seconds into that, you're like, okay, where is she? she has to be somewhere. Right. You know, you're trying to prep yourself like, man, she's not gonna scare me this time. And lo and behold, she pops out of nowhere. You're not expecting it, and she scares the living daylights out of you. It's not just like a the scares. They had like a meaning to them. They weren't just like, ah, and the next scene, cut to the next scene. No, it was like, she pops out, and now she's in action. She, like, grabbed Irene by the throat, and it was just like, whoa.
Dude.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You know? It was some scary stuff in there. Seriously. That's like a movie, like, when you talk about Freddy, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you show Freddy to, like a group of, like, 10-year-old kids, they'd be like, you know, they'd probably be wrong. They'd probably, like, lose, you know, their attention span because it's not that scary.
Right.
You know, they'd probably be creeped out by the big, like, gigantic, like, dolls. They're, you know, that'd probably freak them out just because they like stuff like that.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, no, you know, our favorite, you know, looking whatever is a scary person. You know, that'd probably freak them out a little bit. But if you were to show this movie, oh, my goodness, to a group of 10-year-olds, they wouldn't sleep for weeks, man. This would haunt them for who knows how long.
That's a perfect... I remember I saw my first horror movie at about 10 years old, Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3.
Oh.
And I'm still like, dude. I mean,
Freddy, man.
I was hooked from that moment, you know? And, but like, you know, talk about the brutality of the kills and stuff. I don't know if it was the end. Maybe it was the end. The fight scene between Maurice and Irene and Deborah, like, okay. Dude, like, he was effing them up, dude. Like, I was like, and I don't know if it's the stunt work or if it was CGI, but oh my gosh, like, I was like, dude, is he gonna kill them?
Yeah, he didn't hold back.
No,
and you know, hitting on that, like, when once everybody finds out that Maurice is the demon, and the demon starts, like, showing itself in Maurice's body. We get to a point to where, like, he's hunting Abby now, the little girl.
Yeah.
And that was scary. Because it was like, because at that point, you kind of build a relationship with Abby. You know, you find out that Kate's her mom, that Maurice likes her mom, yada and yada and yay. So there's a bit of a, like, a little bit of a connection there.
Yep.
You know, you don't want to see Abby killed the way that the other people were killed.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And so when Maurice is, like, coming after her, and he wasn't holding back against her either. He was, like, coming for her. He was like, oh, no. Like, once he gets her, he's more than likely going to kill her. You know? That's just what I was thinking. And that was just scary to me. I was just like, oh, man, she's going to get it now. So that was scary. And I also, when he finally got the eyes, I loved that part. Because at first, they took the eyes from him. Abby had the eyes, right? And she, like, jeez, I'm having trouble remembering.
They were, like, in a case, right?
Right, they were in a case. And then it was like, at first it seemed as though the eyes weren't gonna work. He had like the demon had like tricked him or something. He had like lost possession. And then out of nowhere, he grabs the case and like holds it in the air and it's like, uh-oh, you know, he has the eye. That was just really cool. Cause usually, you know, in scary movies, they like, you know, the big bad gets all the way there and then he just falls a little short.
Yeah.
So the fact that he had actually gained possession of the eyes, that was like, no way. Because he was already like uncontrollable. The demon is like, even without the eyes, let's just say the eyes weren't a thing, right?
Yeah.
Even without the eyes, this demon was like far too much for them to handle.
Oh, absolutely. You know what I mean? I mean, he was already just enough or more than they could handle in that fight scene. And that was before he ever got the eyes.
Yeah. And then when he get the eyes, this was like, oh my God, what are they gonna, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just didn't see an out for the good guys in the movie. And I love that.
Yeah.
I love that type of storytelling where they make it, at least you start to believe, like, oh, no, these guys, they might not make it out of this.
Right.
You know what I mean? I like that. I like that in scary movies. That's how it's supposed to be done. You gotta, you know, you gotta reel us in there. Don't just, don't tease us with, you know, a big, how can I say? Don't tease us with a big climax. You know, usually they, like, you know, tease you, and then they rip what could have been a great climax away from you. I felt like in this movie, they gave you the climax and more. They gave you, I didn't feel dissatisfied. I didn't go, you know, I wasn't saying to myself, oh man, what would have happened if you got the eyes or, you know, they showed it all. They showed it all. So that was cool.
Excellent.
That was
excellent.
Cool.
I also liked, when we're talking about getting the eyes, where this movie, it all of a sudden turned into like, The Da Vinci Code.
Okay.
You know, and we're looking at the pane and the window glass with the goat head or something, and then the light comes into the shines on the floor, and then we're digging. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm here for it.
Yeah. And you know, dude, it was just, this movie is scary, man, because when Sister Deborah goes out to like look for the stained glass,
yeah,
you're like, uh-oh. You know, it's like, uh-oh, I don't think she's gonna make it back. Now, she did make it back,
right?
But the whole time she was like going on her own, you're like worried. You're like, oh yeah, man, I know she's gonna get it,
because that's,
you
when know, the goat was out, right?
Right. Oh, the goat. Dude. Oh my God. That, oh man, that goat was scary, dude. Yeah. I forgot about the goat.
That, right. It's creeping on the top of the stairs.
Dude, that was one of the scariest scenes where Deborah, you know, the kids are like, you know, it's a monster in here. And she's looking around. She's got her flashlight.
Yep.
And she waves her flashlight over something. And then she goes back. And it's like, what the hell is that? Because, you know what I mean? They hadn't showed the goat.
Right.
And, man, that was scary. That was scary.
And then it's charging.
Uh-huh.
Oh, dude.
Scary. That was scary. I love the goat.
Man.
I really did.
The tension in this film was done really well.
Mm-hmm. I like the fact that she wasn't like a one-dimensional, like, you know, bad, you know, what do you call it? Protagonist?
Who are we talking about?
The nun?
She'd be an antagonist.
Antagonist, okay. Sorry about that. Antagonist. They didn't make the antagonist, like, one-dimensional. She had multiple tricks up her sleeve.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Every time she came after you, it was like, okay, what's going to happen now? Is she going to turn into, who knows? Because she just had so many. Is she going to possess somebody? Is she going to, you know, it was just, man, the list goes on and on.
Awesome.
It really does.
Awesome. You know, the only thing I probably really didn't like about it is that it was about 2 hours long.
Mm.
And I know we talked immensely about the story and the pacing and the tension, but I feel like we could have gotten Irene and Deborah into the school a lot quicker.
Okay.
And it's a nitpicky thing for me, but I just, and maybe because, I don't know, I spent like all Halloween watching horror movies,
right,
where I'm just like, can we just get to it?
Right.
But maybe because we did have the time to sit with our characters and, I don't know, anticipate what's coming. Maybe that made it better. Okay. I don't know. What about you? Did you think it was too long? Just about right?
I thought it was just about right. And I have a question for you, because this is my first Conjuring movie.
Yeah.
So, do you think you feeling like it was a little bit dragged out has anything to do with what you seen in the other movies?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Because the other movies, the Conjuring movies have a certain pace that I like.
Okay.
The Annabelle movies are good, but I feel like they're a little too long. Like, they're a little slow to me. Okay. And this one was sort of like a mix of both. Okay. Where it was like, man, there's really good stuff in it. Mm-hmm. But then the stuff that was slow to me felt forever.
Okay.
But it's because I have an... I have a... what's the word? I have expectation in the Conjuring universe of how a movie should be... How the other movies are paced.
Okay.
And again, it is not a... It's not a detriment to the film. It's just... 8 movies in, I kind of want to get through it.
Yeah.
And then maybe I'm Halloweened out, you know, because like I watched like 31 horror movies in 31 days.
Right.
And like a lot of possession movies, you kind of see the same stuff.
Okay.
And that's just, you know, that's just my own thing.
Okay.
But it doesn't, you know, it doesn't hurt the movie to me, because I think once we got to the end, right, and that whole, the eyes and the third act and the kids and the goat and everything, and the final battle, it's like, well, we needed that stuff to get there.
Okay.
You know, we needed to care about the kids and the school teacher, so that when the nuns got there, when the sisters got there, then, you know, it was on.
Right. Okay. I'm with you on that. I'm trying to think, like, if I could say something that they kind of... Okay, there was a moment in between where... Okay, in between the demon getting the eyes, and in between them digging the eyes up and the nun, the demon, getting the eyes, I feel like they slowed it way down. That, I'll agree with you. It was really slow. Because it's like, you know, they get the eyes, and then they go from the discovering eyes to now Abby has the eyes. Now Abby has run across the school campus into, like, the bell tower or whatever.
Right.
You know, then Maurice is like, battling with Sister Deborah and Irene. And then he finally chases... it's like, oh, come on, you know. Yeah. That was a little dragged out. It worked, but yes. Some scenes were a little dragged out.
How do you feel about, like, these horror movies that are based, like, within, like, the Catholic Church? Like, do you have an opinion on, like, religion used as kind of a background to all this?
I don't have an issue with it. I'll say that. I mean, you're talking about demons.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's only right that you have to bring in, like, some kind of, you know, the holy aspect of it. I mean, what do you get to combat a demon?
Yeah.
You know, if you don't bring some kind of holy figure or holy establishment into the picture. Because if you don't, then it's just like, pure fantasy, you know. Right. What I mean, it kind of gets a little predictable. But no, man, I didn't have a problem. You know, I don't feel like they were disrespectful to anybody's religion or anything like that.
I guess that was the word I probably should have used.
Okay.
Do you think it was disrespectful?
No, man. I would somebody would have to educate me on how it was disrespectful for me to share that opinion.
Okay.
And now I'm not saying that it could have been some things in there that weren't done correctly, that, you know, people might have a problem with.
Yeah.
But I'm when it comes to, like, Catholic nuns and stuff like that, I'm not that familiar with it.
Okay.
But with that being said, though, I generally know the do's and don'ts, you know, when it comes to people in their religion, you know, stuff like that, you know. And I feel like they tiptoed the line Okay. Nicely.
Yeah, I don't really have an opinion either way. I just, you know, just getting your thoughts. I don't, I know that there are some people who are pretty, you know, staunch in their beliefs that, you know, maybe they don't believe spirits like that exist and things like that. So
I mean, people had a problem with the Passion of Christ movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And, you know, how do you, you know, how do you sort that out? You know?
You mean being it too violent?
I think some people, back when it came out, you know, I heard stuff about it being too violent. You know, people were passing out in the movie theater. It was just something they shouldn't have done. It was blasphemy. You know, people use that word. You know, just the act of even trying to portray this story was sinful or a sin. You know, stuff like that. You know, people who are like just hardcore into religion. I'm, you know, and when I say hardcore, I'm talking about like a nun, a real nun. You know what I mean? She, you know, a nun might have an issue with this movie.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, a Catholic priest or something like that. Sure, maybe, but no, not me, man.
One of the fun things I liked about this movie is when Kate comes on screen and I pop for this because I haven't seen this actress on screen in a while.
Okay.
She was in the Chronicles of Narnia movie.
Yes, she was.
She was Susan.
She was.
And
she's with the bow in her hair, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, she was the older sister.
Okay. Older sister. For some reason, I'm picturing her with a bow in her hair. Did she have a bow in The Nun?
I don't know.
I'm not sure either. But I knew she looked familiar, though.
She was in those Narnia movies.
Okay, sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah.
Narnia came out, what, 20 years ago now?
Yeah.
Okay, it's been a while.
That's what I'm saying. Like it's been, so seeing her, like, she's a little older, but, like, her eyes and that smile, I was like, oh, my God, that's a Narnia chick.
She's a gorgeous woman.
And I was like, oh, man. I was like, I hope she don't die.
Right? Yeah. She's a very attractive woman.
Yeah.
Very attractive.
But yeah, it was nice to see her in a role and just being kind of like another positive person in the movie.
Okay.
That's, I just wanted to mention that if people didn't know.
Yeah, she played a nice role, a sweet role. I felt like she fit in just right.
Yeah.
I felt like she was kind of like the middle, you know, person. She wasn't too far, you know, on the Catholic side. She was just a teacher.
Yep.
Teacher at a school, you know. Child goes there. She was just a regular person.
So after seeing this, do you want to see more of the Conjuring universe?
I do.
Okay.
I do. I plan on watching The Nun, number one. The first Nun. Plan on watching that. And I'm going to see where I can find some of the other Conjuring movies. Maybe watch some of those. I think
they're on Max.
Max? Okay. I know I've seen Annabelle somewhere. I think Annabelle's on Max, too. So I'm going to give those a shot. I might actually, be all honest, it might go the first Nun, and then I might dig into some of the Annabelles because they're more recent.
Yeah.
And then watch, like, The Conjurings and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Okay. You know? Cool. Well, after all this discussion, how would you rate The Nun 2?
Oh, man. Okay, I'm going to give it a serious critical view here.
Okay.
I'm trying to do a serious critical view. I'm going to take a few things into account. It's not, like, groundbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Movies like this have been done before. Good or bad, which this was a good one.
Yep.
But it's been done before. But, you know, lots of good stuff in there. Overall, I like the movie. And the fact that it was truly scary, a horror film that actually frightened me, I'm going to give it a solid 8.
Nice.
Solid 8.
Excellent. I was looking at my other Conjuring numbers and ratings and going, most of the Conjuring universe falls in like a 7-8 era for me. Like, it's really good.
Okay.
It's very good. But then after a while, like, this is the 8th version of, you know, this is the 8th installment of the story.
Mm-hmm.
But this one made me feel as scary as watching the first Conjuring.
Okay.
There was the scares and the, you know, you didn't know what was going to happen. And I really liked that. The story was well done, and it ties... this movie will directly tie into The Conjuring Part 2. So, like, if ever, you know, in a Halloween marathon, you could watch these all, and it would all kind of make sense.
Okay.
So I will also be giving it an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
It was a highly enjoyable, frightening, scary movie that, like... I remember, you know, when we finished it, we're just like, dude, that was really good.
Yes.
Like, I am like, you know, I'm disturbed by this.
Yes. I'm like, I cannot stress enough how scary this movie was. And I am not easily, like, frightened and scared. I'm really not, man. But, man, the way this movie, like, comes across, it was like... Like, there was a point where I was watching the movie in, like, complete darkness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And then there was a point where I was like, okay, let me sit up and, like turn the light on because this is, like, seriously creepy. This was seriously a scary movie. And some of them jump scares, man, and just the way the nun looked, who, by the way, she was gigantic.
Yes.
She wasn't a normal size, like, person. It was a huge, she was a huge spirit. And just like her, just how powerful it was, and it was scary, man. It was scary.
Awesome. Well, that is a great description. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't seen it, check it out. It is on HBO Max. That's where we checked it out. Mm-hmm. And if you are prepping for next week, we are going to be going to the Marvels next week to check that movie out.
More superheroes.
Yeah. And hopefully it's a good time. Mm-hmm. But until then, if you're listening to this, please like us on whatever platform you are. Rate, subscribe. We are available on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Google, and we just got on iHeartRadio. So if you're new to us on iHeartRadio, thank you for checking us out. We are also on Facebook. There's a Destruction Reviews podcast fan group page, as well as we are on X or Twitter at Destruction Pod. Hit us up. And I think that's all the socials. Oh, you can even send us an email, destructionreviews@AOL.com.
Nice.
So that's, you know, if you want to go that route.
Yep.
So with that, I will hand it off to Jeremiah.
Okay. Shout out to everybody who comes and listens. We really appreciate it. We like doing this, but we also like to engage with you guys. So, like Jason said, hit us up, man. Let us know what you think. Maybe throw a few suggestions out there, something you want us to look at or hit on. You know, we're open-minded, and we're willing to work with you. But until then, until the next episode, I'm Jeremiah, along with co-host Jason. This is Destruction Reviews Podcast. We'll catch you next time. Ask your parents before you subscribe.